Take your copy of the Word of God and turn to Genesis 24. There's a man in the Bible, a few men in the Bible, that I would like to be like. And one of them is the servant of Abraham in this chapter. There's a need. The need is Abraham realizes time is running along in his life and he wants to be sure that his son Isaac gets the right bride. Now, most of your fathers are same interest, but they don't send out a servant to find one for you. Amen? Yeah. Well, there is some movement in the country here that they look like want to arrange marriages, but I don't know if that's going to work out too well. But this man's responsibility was to go and bring home the bride. And I want you to notice how he did that. And we're going to learn from it. Verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. That's a politically correct word to say he was old. And had been blessed in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now you can see the seriousness of this because about the time you put your hand under some man's thigh, you're going to get decked. So he's asked him to do that. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, that's Jehovah, the God, Elohim, the all-powerful one of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, it's a very obvious question, the first question I would have asked, well, what if, or peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land? Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son hither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring my son hither, not my son hither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear concerning this matter. Just a couple things about these first few verses. The servant now is receiving the commandment, the orders. I just love the fact that Abraham is very conscious that the Canaanites are not a people from which his wife should come for his son. The Canaanites were the most wicked people on the face of the earth. It was the one group of people that God said completely wiped them out when they moved into that land. And I want to remind us that we live among the most wicked people of the world. They're called unbelievers. And let's quit whining about how hard it is. Because if anybody had a reason to whine, it was Abraham. Because God said, I'm going to give you a land for yourself, but I'm going to plunk you down right in the midst of the most wicked people on the face of the earth. And there Abraham built an altar and worshiped the name of the Lord. And everybody knew it. Another thing I like about it is that Abraham insists that his son is not to go back. From whence God calls you, you can't go back. He didn't want him to be even tempted to go into Ur of Chaldees and stay there. It would have been easier because there was family there. It would have been easier to go home. And it will always be easier to go back than it will be to go forward. But it's the wrong way to go. Thirdly, I liken this, the faith of Abraham, because Abraham's faith is so powerful because he said, the God who brought me here and promised me everything will provide a bride. Wow. His angel will go before me. He is making a decision here that is profound in faith, that I'm not even worried about your bringing. Why would he say then in the next verse, if the woman won't follow you, he's assuring the man that it's going to be God that brings him back, not the man. And I can assure you right now that when we bring the bride home, the bride is the church of Jesus Christ, the one that God's going to call out of this world, It isn't going to be a work of ourselves. It's going to be the angel, the work, the Holy Spirit of God that will bring the bride home. Now he receives the order. Let's notice, because of our time, we're going to fly through these, but let's notice what this man does with his orders. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of the master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. The first thing he did was he understood the command. Secondly, he used the provisions that God had provided. Now, what was the master? Was he rich? Absolutely. The Bible says he was a rich man. This man is over all the riches. And I don't think Abraham said, take whatever you need. The man already knew he could take whatever he needed. And so he took 10 camels. That's a lot of camels. He's going on a long journey. You know, he doesn't go across the desert over to Ur of the Chaldees. Even the military of the United States didn't go that way. Had to go up over Syria, through Turkey, and back down into Iraq. It was a long trip. I assume that he had people that were protectors. He had people that were cooks. He had people that could meet all the needs he was going to have on this long trek that Abraham had made earlier. So he took that which was his master's and provided everything that he would need. When God gives us orders, God will meet the need and provide the resources for anything he asks us to do. I thought I understood that almost 17 years ago now when God called me to lead the ministry of Baptist Church Planters. But I soon learned I didn't have a clue. Because up until that time, I had taken care of myself, taken care of my family. If I came up short some month or we wanted to go on a vacation or something, I had a means. I could do some extra work. I would find a way to make a provision. But when I got to Baptist Church Planters for the first time in my life, my back was up against the wall. I couldn't do enough to provide for the needs. And for the first time, I had to meet Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. I have learned over these years that God has resources we know not of. God has people that have money they need to give away. You just don't know who they are. You wish you knew who they were. I wish when I went into a church that there was a yellow blinking light on people's foreheads that were potential missionaries. So while I'm speaking, I can just, oh, there's one over there. I'll see that person there, and I'll see that. And then I wish they had a green blinking light for the people that had money they needed to give away. And then there's a few other blinking lights, but I won't tell you what I want to think. Guess what? There's no blinking lights. That's faith. You go, you take what you have in your hand, whether it's a sling or a sword or the word of God or whatever God gives you, your ability, you go and you serve with the resources that God has provided, and then he will demonstrate his greatness. Don't ever limit God. God is limitless. And this servant went to get a bride and used the resources provided. We can't go any further with that. Let's go to the next verse. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time the women go out to draw water. You may not think this is important, but I call this, he postured himself to find the bride. He postured himself to present himself. I mean, how is he going to know? If you weren't going to posture yourself to find the bride, then he would have hid his camels and hid his servants and his entourage, and he would have said, almost in a sense of tempting the Lord, I dare you to show me the woman without me first showing myself. But that would have been tempting the Lord. What he did is he said, I'm going to make myself very visible. I'm going to take and go up to the well. I'm going to put my camels there. And She has to see me. If we are going to reach the bride and bring the bride home, people coming to know the Lord, we have to posture ourselves where they are. One of the faults of the Church of Jesus Christ today and fundamentalism is that we seldom posture ourselves where the unsaved are. We just live among our safe little cocoon and we're safe and everybody's evil out there. Well, they are evil, but you have to posture yourself. You have to bring yourself to the place where God can say, there's one. And that's what he did. And then he prayed, and I love this prayer, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city came out to draw. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let that same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. There's two things about this prayer I love. First of all, his motive for this woman. He asked God of heaven to show kindness, not to him so he can get back home. He said, I want you to show kindness to my master. You see, in ministry, motive is everything. And when you see ministry done for the wrong motive, it is actually sickening. Because people want glory for themselves, and they want accolades, and they want people to take and speak well of them. If we could forget ourselves and just do everything to the glory of God, to please him, the Bible says that faith, which just man has, pleases God. And he wanted to please God and please his master. So he asked the God of heaven, please bless my master. And then he was very specific in his prayer because he said, let the woman that does water my camel, let her be the one. Show me. Let's see what it says in verse 15. This is pretty good. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted. And she let down her pitcher into the hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. This servant's eyes probably went, you know, whoa, something's going on here. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now, if he would have been Fred Flintstone, he would have said, yubba dubba doo. This is it! And he would have said, I'm going to take a beautiful woman home. By the way, I've never met an ugly bride. A beautiful, godly woman that's a virgin is a gift to any godly man. God wanted to give Isaac a gift that was pure. That's another subject, but you gals, your virginity is a beautiful thing. And God saw fit to say in this text that she had known no man. And there she is working. I don't know how much water camels drink, but I know it's a lot. I know when I'm out in New Mexico preaching, the ranchers, it's so funny because in the Northeast or in the Midwest, the ranchers and cattlemen are worried about feeding the cattle. In the West, they're worried about watering the cattle. They will get out of church and say, I got to go check the waters. The feed is whatever they can get. But a cow will drink 30 gallons of water a day. So if you got 100 head in a lot, whoa, you better have your well working and the pumps working or the spring working or whatever's working to water. And these camels, she worked, I'm sure, for hours watering these 10 camels. I want you to notice then what the man did. He hadn't made a... He wasn't absolutely sure, but he was, I'm sure, just about there. And in verse 22 it says, and it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took golden earrings of a half a shekel weight, two bracelets of her hands of 10 shekels weights of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there any room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? What did he do? He proved, first of all, he wasn't a dumb servant. He knows women love jewelry. You guys, pay attention. They love jewelry. But what he was doing here is not buying her, enticing her. He was demonstrating that his master had plenty of funds to take care of her if she would follow him back. Because, see, in that day, there was a dowry paid. He wanted to make sure that she understood that there was sufficient funds to pay the dowry and that if she would allow him to come to her house, he had sufficient funds to meet his own needs and he will demonstrate to her father, this man she will marry, there are sufficient funds to take care of her. A good father will say to a potential husband of you gals, do you have a job? How are you going to take care of her? I remember when my daughter, our only daughter, got married and we were at the altar and I was talking to my future son-in-law and I says, up till now, I've paid all of her bills. They're now all yours. I'm not taking care of her anymore. You have to demonstrate to me you can take care of her. And that's what he did. The story goes on and tells that he went on to her dad's house and he explained everything. But before he went, notice what he did in verse 26. This is so powerful to me. The man bowed down his head. This means he went prostrate down the ground and worshiped the Lord. In other words, he didn't say, wait till I get home. I'm going to look good. No, he fell down right on the ground. He said, oh God, I being in the way you led me. He gave God all the credit. I'm not going to take the time to go through the whole rest of the chapter because of our time, but he goes to her dad's house and he demonstrates to him again, I can take care of her. My master can take care of her. We have plenty of money. But he reiterates the whole story, and he brings her father right to the point where it's so obvious this is God's will. And her father says this, what can I say? He demonstrates the power of God in leading and says the story and reiterates. You know, it's almost like in our own personal salvation, we're telling somebody how God began to work in our heart and how the Word of God began to convict us of sin and of righteousness of judgment and how we came to that point where our heart was pounding within us until we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we go through that story, and when we get done telling somebody, it's like, I really don't have anything to say. I mean, wow. And he says, this is of the Lord. Now you remember, if he says this is of the Lord and he gives his sanction to his daughter, you can go. And by the way, he brings the daughter in and he says, Rebecca, do you want to go? And she said, I'm convinced, yes, I will go. She's saying goodbye to her dad and her mom and family forever. They're going to make this trip. They're not coming back. And this ministry of bringing the bride home is very much like we are involved in today. You and I better understand the orders of God. You know, if you don't understand the orders of God, then you're going to be confused in ministry. You're going to go out there and just spin your wheels. The orders of God are very clear. And even as a church planting director of a mission agency, that's all we do. It never says in the Bible to go plant a church. It says go make a disciple. I was teaching in Sunday school yesterday, and I was telling them, anybody can get a crowd together. If you act stupid enough, somebody will follow you. If you play in great music, somebody will come and listen to it. If you're a charismatic personality, somebody will follow you. But God didn't ask us to get a crowd. He asked us to make a disciple. He asked us to go get the bride one at a time. And that's our command, to make a difference, to go into the world, go into the far country, and take and find the bride. We're going to go to the next slide. And bringing that bride home depends on whether we understand the commands. While you're here, you ought to learn that command. Secondly, we need to posture ourselves before the world. We need to make sure that when we are out there, we are before people that are unsaved. I was with Nolan and three of his friends, and we stopped at Arby's Sunday night. We got a sandwich, and I asked the man that was waiting for us, a young man, I said, "You ever been in a Bible study?" "What?" I said, "You ever been in a Bible study?" "Nope." I said to the guy cooking back there, "You ever been in a Bible study?" He goes, "What?" The guy said, "You ever been in a Bible study?" "Nope." I said to Nolan, "Boy, here's an opportunity." Of course, you know what I saw that young man do after a while we were going out? He went outside. I don't know if Nolan picked it up. He went outside and he pulled a little joint out and he was smoking a joint. Well, that only proved to me he needs a Bible study. We have to go out there where the world is, and we have to posture ourselves so that we don't throw the pearls before the swine, but we go out there and find it. If God is going to pull them and draw them, there's going to be some kind of an interest. We're going to use his resources. We're going to posture ourselves before the world, and then we're going to pray that God will take and use us, that he will take and demonstrate to us who those are that he will draw to himself. And then we have to show them what our God is like. We have to demonstrate what our God is like as we take and live our life. And if we're living our life and we're all grumpy and grouchy and we're unhappy with it and everything we say, who's going to want to know that God? But as we demonstrate the riches of our Heavenly Father, people are going to notice. Boy, we live in a little area. There's a little lane behind us. There's four or five houses, and there's a couple houses down here, and they're our neighbors. And we've been so careful to live our life before them. We've had some of them to church with us, some of them to musicals, and some of them here. And so far, the Lord hasn't demonstrated to us that he's drawing them, because they have no interest. When we bring up the Lord, they want to shut it down. But you know what I know? Kathy and I know that any time the Holy Spirit wants to begin drawing them, he can do that, and there will be nothing in the world to stop that from happening, and we will be there to help them come home. But when it's all said and done, and we've seen the bride come, we bow our head and give God all the credit. One of the things early in my life, in my ministry life, that I didn't like, used to get this thing called the sword of the Lord. It was more of a brag sheet than it was anything else, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we baptized 350 or 700 or this and that. You know, we don't need to tell the world what we do and what God has done through us. That's what God knows. All we ought to be doing is talking about how great our God is and how he has used us for his glory. As you leave this campus and go off into ministry, your job is to bring the bride home. And if you follow this servant, you will have the same experience and joy. I wonder what the servant was thinking when Isaac came running toward that camel. Rebecca got down and they hugged happily ever after, whatever it is. I wonder what the servant said. Now he's not the focus at all. He's in the background and he's fading. I think he had to sit back there and with just the greatest amount of joy bubbling from his heart. God used me to do that. And you will sit someday in church and you will see people that came to Christ and you will weep with joy. God used you, but to his glory. Pray. Father, help us. That we'll love to do your work, we'll use your resources, we'll present ourselves so that people can see you, and we will do what we have been commissioned to do, and then give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.